It's Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Oh, it's straight to Mac and Gatos on the program. Mm-hmm. An hour from now? Oh, yes. Highly anticipated, the big four at four. We bring you four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour. Okay, so the last few days we've been talking about what's happening with Suns owner Robert Sarver, the Phoenix City Council, the vote that really didn't take place yesterday. They punted till next year. Apparently they didn't have the votes to give Sarver and the Suns the money, by the way, a lot of taxpayer money, to fix the arena. So is this a good deal for the Phoenix City Council? Is this a bad deal for taxpayers? Let's dig a little bit deeper and try and figure out, you know, why this might not be the best deal.
You know, we also had an election, and during that election, it was we don't really know who the Phoenix mayoral Phoenix mayor is yet. They have to do a runoff. But one person who's running for the Phoenix mayoral position, Kate Gallego, has released a statement, and she doesn't like this deal.
Right.
So let's talk to Ms. Gallego right now and find out why. Ms. Gallego, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you for discussing this important topic.
So why do you oppose this deal? Do you not like the current deal as it's set up?
I do not. I think we have a lot of competing needs in our city. We need to invest in public safety. We need to find solutions to homelessness. And here we are putting millions and millions of dollars towards a sports arena. The public should have a chance to weigh in about whether they think that's the best use of limited resources.
But you can do things for homeless people and public safety and try and keep the Suns in Phoenix.
But we have limited resources. We can't do everything at once, and so we should talk to the community about what they value.
Are you worried that
my personal opinion?
Go ahead.
Is that sports teams like the Suns are among the most profitable enterprises in America, and that they should pay for their own scoreboard, kitchens, and seat cushions?
Okay, but what if it's infrastructure? Isn't that part of the Phoenix City Council's job to fix the arena?
The city council has already given approval for some limited upgrades like the plumbing, but this is much, much larger. This is looking at the whole seating. This is luxury upgrades. This is amenities. This is changing the concourses. This is a huge $200 million plus deal.
Okay. When we talked to Jason Rowley, the Suns president and CEO yesterday, he said it's about plumbing. It's about the cracks in the ceiling. It's about, like, you know, beer that is spilt on the ground and goes all the way down to, like, the basement of the building. He didn't mention anything about, give me a new big scoreboard, and we want a new court, and we want to do all, you know, all that kind of stuff. Do we not? Is that not? That is part of it. Is what you're telling us? Is that part of it?
I would encourage anyone who's interested to go to phoenix.gov. There is a list of upgrades. It doesn't have costs, which I think is one of the things that's missing from this discussion. But it includes VIP club space, renovated locker rooms,
practice facility. I think
that's correct. The Suns, I think, will pay for their own practice facility.
Okay.
But
okay.
That's part of the deal as well. So this is extensive upgrades where you may not recognize Talking Stick Resort Arena when it's done.
Mm. Kate Gallego.
Look, I bet you have listeners out there who would love to have a great new keg room upgraded at taxpayer expense. We should just have a conversation about whether that's the right use of taxpayer dollars or if the Suns, which get to sell the beer, should be upgrading their own keg room.
Hmm. Kate Gallego is the Phoenix mayoral candidate. You were a city council person for a number of years. The thing I don't understand is what happened yesterday. Why would you delay a vote when you didn't have the votes in the first place and the public, almost 70% of people polled, are dead set against this? What is there? Why put off the vote? Why did they put off the vote instead of moving forward saying, hey, look, we're not going to do this? I just don't understand what's going to happen in a month.
So three council members, including the acting mayor, called for additional public meetings. And then Councilman Michael Nowakowski called for even more meetings.
Right. But we already know what the public feels about this. That's what I don't. Overwhelmingly, the public doesn't want this. So wouldn't the Phoenix City Council already kind of sort of know the temperature of the room?
I think they should get their chance to make the case to the public. Some people have argued that the public doesn't understand what's happening. And so let's get the facts out there and have a real debate. My mind is made up. I don't think this is the best use of limited public dollars, but it's really worthwhile to have that conversation. Transparency is important. So I do want to applaud them for talking to the public about what this entails.
Kate Gallego is joining us, Phoenix mayoral candidate. So what is it, $150 million is in taxpayer money, $80 million is what Sarver would pay. Is that correct?
That's just initial, and then there's some additional regular payments every year for arena maintenance. So it's quite a large deal.
Okay. What deal would be good for you? What deal would you say, hey, that's a little bit better? Should we flip it? Should it be $80 million to taxpayers and $150 million to Sarver? Is that something that you would then support?
I would really like to see private financing. There have been some great teams win championships in privately financed arenas. The Suns should get the chance to bet on their own product on the court. If they believe they have the right team, they should be able to take all the risk and make all of the profit. There's just limited things that government can do, and I don't think this is our area of expertise.
So if you were to be elected mayor, would you be willing to have that hard conversation with either the owner or management and say, okay, we can't make this work, go out and find another city or another state?
I would love to see the Suns continue to thrive in downtown Phoenix, as would the Suns. And I'm happy to be there. If there's investors who want to hear from the mayor and say, yes, I think you should put your money into this. We want the Suns to stay in downtown Phoenix, but with private financing.
Okay. I mean, and that's fair. I mean, you know.
Have you heard that Sarver told a city council person, we'll move the team if we don't get our deal? That's being reported. Have you heard that from inside the Phoenix City Council?
I have not. I've read the same reports that others have, but I don't have firsthand knowledge.
Would it surprise you if Robert Sarver has used that as leverage?
I'm sure he's using every negotiating tool he has. You know, if he can get millions of dollars in taxpayer funds, I'd expect him to go after it. But I'm hopeful the city council will send a message that we support the Suns, but not with taxpayer dollars.
See, that's why I was surprised they voted to put off and delay the vote. I would have thought they would have said, well, we don't have the votes, it's not going to happen. But instead, they've decided to... I just don't know what they're going to do in another month. You know, you say have public discussions, open it up. To me, it's pretty darn simple. There's a poll that says 70% don't want it.
Right.
The Phoenix City Council doesn't want it. There's no real, hey, we have to convince people here.
Yeah, but then you have
the
to...
The public and the city council don't want the same thing.
Okay, so what would... I mean, if the Suns left downtown Phoenix, Kate Gallego is joining us, Phoenix mayoral candidate. The Suns leave downtown Phoenix. What does downtown Phoenix look like? It hurts, doesn't it?
We have a great downtown Phoenix with wonderful education institutions, great businesses and restaurants. Downtown Phoenix is a wonderful place to be and will be with or without the Suns. But we do want the Suns to stay. Just we need their ownership group to step up and invest in the building. Some people have pointed to models where other teams like the Chicago Cubs have ownership of the facility and they sell shares to fans who want to invest. Wouldn't it be great if the Suns are putting a strong product on the floor and people in the community come up and support this arena?
I would if they put a strong team on the floor. They have to first.
In a decade.
That'd be nice.
What do you say to some of the people that say about you, well, she's running for office. She's trying to be the next mayor of Phoenix. Of course she's going to go out and take the taxpayer side by saying, yeah, don't worry, we're not going to make you pay taxes on a Suns arena. And some people say you're just doing it to try and get elected.
Well, if elected officials represent the people in their communities, that's good news. If I am out there and I win because I believe the same thing as the people of Phoenix, I think that's a success story. I do think that my record of fiscal responsibility in this area is one of the reasons I was the top vote getter in the November 6th election. But the exciting opportunity is we have an election in 3 months. And so if the council doesn't move forward, the voters will get an ability to weigh in.
All right, Kate Gallego, Phoenix mayoral candidate. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for covering it.
Okay. So you have one person who is running to become the Phoenix mayor. Okay, and that election is in a runoff, and she hasn't liked this idea from the beginning, basically saying, we can let's support the Suns, but no taxpayer money. I don't know if Sarver's going to go for that. There's got to be some sort of deal in there, you know, where Sarver doesn't pick up the whole bill, but that taxpayers don't pick up the majority of it.
But Kate Gallego and others are saying, we don't want to pay any of it. Does Sarver swallow that pill, or does he take his ball and go somewhere else?
All right, why don't we talk about that next? Do you think that Robert Sarver, he's threatened to move the team out of Arizona, according to Lori Roberts from the Arizona Republic.
Who has heard from a city council member.
Person, yeah. Okay, that Sarver said, yeah, we'll bail. Should the Phoenix City Council call his bluff?
Yeah.
Is that the next move? We'll talk about it in a second.
It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Mac and Gatos On Demand. Make sure you don't miss any of the show. You can subscribe for your iPhone or Android. It's the Mac and Gatos Podcast, brought to you by Canyon State Credit Union. And, of course, Mac and Gatos Caring for Kids 2018, which is next Friday.
Next Friday is the big event where we take the show on the road to 7th Street and Thunderbird at Walgreens. And the reason we're going to be at Walgreens is every Walgreens in the Valley has a big bin waiting for you to put something into it for the most vulnerable of children around the Valley, foster kids. It says Mac and Gatos Caring for Kids on that bin in all Walgreens across the Valley. Go to Walgreens, buy some stuff, help the children who really have nothing. They're taken out of their homes for many different reasons. Some are injured. Some are not loved. Some are loved, but their parents just can't take care of them. Some are abused, but you know they don't have anything. They leave their house with nothing. And a lot of times, even at their current house, they have nothing. So we want to give them something, but you know, we need your help. So the best way to get involved is to text KIDS, KIDS, plural, to 411-923. We got a holiday wish list there. Go to any Walgreens, buy some stuff, put it in the Mac and Gatos bin. Let's do something great together before Christmas gets here for these kids.
All right, you brought up something before we broke. Should the city council call Robert Sarver's bluff and basically say, we're not going to give you any money, we're not going to be extorted, we're not going to be held hostage. If you don't want to come to some kind of deal or some kind of agreement, fine. Take the team, go somewhere else, try to find another pursuer, if you will.
Right.
Or should the city council vote to have some kind of deal, I don't want to say no matter what it is, but at least negotiate a deal at some point after January 23rd?
Well, I mean, times have changed. People don't want to be paying any tax that goes to a team or a stadium.
Right.
That's done. That day and age is done.
Right.
And nobody wants to do that anymore with their
tax
money.
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah, I mean, by far. It used to be, it was kind of accepted. Not anymore.
Yeah, right.
Not anymore.
And Phoenix is where Las Vegas was like, or I'm sorry, Las Vegas is where Phoenix was like 20 years ago. They do have the T-Mobile Arena. Taxpayers wanted it because they wanted a franchise. They wanted a team there. Mm-hmm. Phoenix the same way 20 years ago. They wanted Talking Stick Arena. They didn't want the Coliseum anymore. So they were willing to build Chase Field or then Bank One Ballpark. And now I can't remember. It was U.S. Airways, and before that was like America West Arena or something right. Like that. To build that, now it's a different time, much different time. And I know that this deal would primarily tax people who are tourists, but people don't want to be taxed. Period. Doesn't matter whether you're traveling or not.
I don't know if the Phoenix City Council is going to call the bluff of Sarver. Because, like, Sarver and Jason Rowley, who we talked to yesterday, Suns CEO and president, they're saying we've never threatened anything. We've never said we were going to leave. That's inaccurate. Lori Roberts from the Arizona Republic.
You spoke to a council person who says Robert Sarver says that they are thinking or they will potentially go to Vegas or Seattle if they don't get the renovation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was told by a city council person.
All right. Lori Roberts on with Bruce and Pamela today. So, who do I believe? Well, I don't believe the Suns because the Suns have to say, oh, of course we never said that. But behind closed doors, if you're Robert Sarver, yeah, you know what? If I'll put it this way. If I own the Phoenix Suns and I'm trying to get a deal, I might threaten you to leave. And I might think that that's the way to get a deal. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's just business. So if do I believe the Suns that they never did this? No, I don't believe that. I believe it probably happened, and there's one city council member who probably got the threat from Sarver. Hey, listen, you better give me my money. You better make this thing better, or we're going to leave. Should the city council call the bluff?
Yes, yeah, I say yes.
I know you say yes.
I say yes.
That's gutsy. It's tough.
I mean,
because then you're thinking,
it's all
get
about,
out. You can leave.
It's all about leverage. It's all about leverage. From what we understand, Sarver really doesn't have any leverage. He can threaten to leave, but you got to get league approval.
Cost him a fortune.
It would cost him a fortune. Does Seattle or Las Vegas or any other place really want to deal with him? Not really, from what we understand. They want to wait for a franchise. They want to wait for their own franchise.
They want to get a team.
But again, how desperate are they? Not very right now.
I think they want to get a team. I think they'd love to have the Suns, even though Sarver's a bad owner. I don't know. But
I think the city council has leverage, therefore exercise it and say, no deal. That's why I'm still so confused about what happened yesterday.
You rolled the dice then. You rolled the dice that they might leave. And I don't really think anybody really wants them to leave. Nobody wants the Phoenix Suns to leave. We just want to work out a deal.
No. What we want is a better owner is what we want.
But that's not what this is about.
But it is, because he's the one who's negotiating. You have got to be able to stand up to him and say, we are willing to part ways with you, sir, because we don't think this is fair. Mm-hmm. And if he does, well, here's a lunch.
I don't think it's about him not running the team well. He hasn't run the team well at all. But it's about keeping the Suns here and having a building that everybody can enjoy. And that's the way Sarver thinks. Give me the building we can all enjoy.
Right.
All right. Coming up next, Martha Maurer is going to give us the latest around the Valley in news. When we come back, we want to take your phone calls on something totally different. We want you to call if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. We're looking for one of each, I think.
And you have a smartphone.
Yes. Would you give up your smartphone for $100,000? A company is saying, we'll pay you $100,000. You just have to prove to us you don't use a smartphone.
I don't think somebody would last 4 days with this.
I don't know. I'd do it in a second. And I kind of like my smartphone. 277-5827. Would you give up your smartphone for $100,000? Your call next.
Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News 92.3 FM. Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News 92.3 FM.
All right, very interesting. There's a company that says, you know what? We'll pay you $100,000 if you do not use a smartphone for a year.
Yeah, Vitamin Water unveiled this challenge inviting anyone to break the cycle with scroll-free life solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a Dr. Phil show.
But
you have to do it for 365 days. You cannot use your or anyone else's smartphone, and they will give you a phone, I think like an old-style flip phone or whatever, to use. So you still have a cell phone, you just can't use your smartphone.
So could you text?
Yes.
Maybe on one of those old phones you could text.
Yes.
You know, if one is like what, A, B, and C, you got to hit it three times.
Right. The old school style.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we take some phone calls? We'll get some different ages in here to see if you would actually do something like this.
All right, David, you're in Glendale. You're in your 50s. Could you do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Do you use a smartphone?
Yeah.
And you don't think it would be tough?
No, it'd be harder than hell, but it's just.
You do it for $100,000.
Absolutely.
How much are you on your smartphone during the day? Are you like locked to it, or?
My wife will text me occasionally. I can pull off the side of the road and read it when I get to it.
Okay. It doesn't sound like he uses his smartphone often. That's just me. All right, thanks,
David. You never use it for GPS or anything.
No.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
so
but
he
then
can
that's
do it.
Easy.
That's
he can
easy.
Absolutely
that's an easy
do it.
One. All right.
Yeah. Let's see. Stephanie, you are in Scottsdale. Stephanie, could you do this?
Yes.
How old are you? I know I'm not supposed to ask, but I am.
Oh, my goodness. I have to get my real age.
Let's just say you're older. She's older than I am, and I turned 50 in October.
Oh, my goodness. I just turned 53 last week.
Okay.
Oh, geez. I wasn't going to tell anybody, Stephanie. You just let the cat out of the bag.
Would you do it for $100,000? No smartphone?
Oh, no. Not at all.
Why not?
It's just too much. You know, now you do everything on your phone. You do texting. You do emails. and it gets to be a little bit of a nuisance. You know, I try to go to bed at night, and it buzzes and dings and bings. I'd rather do without it.
It's become part of our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
We want it near us at all times. We want it near our bed. We can't miss out. If there's a commercial, it's like you're watching TV and you're not DVRing it. You're watching something
right.
live, which is, you know, totally annoying. During the commercial, you got to go on your cell phone. What else do you do? 277-5827.
I was telling somebody in the newsroom who is younger about leaving the house, and I forgot my phone.
Okay.
And you should have seen this person's eyes.
Can you? How
they,
old? Are they in their 20s?
They're in their 20s.
Yeah, but see, they've grown up with
exactly,
it like
exactly,
yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I left without my phone, no big deal. They thought I was crazy for not going back home and getting my phone. I'm like, there are plenty of phones here.
So we've taken a couple calls. Let's go a little younger than 50. Who do we
All
have?
All right, Steven, you're in Gilbert. You are 33.
Hey, Steven.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
$100,000, would you do it and give up your smartphone for a year?
In a heartbeat.
And why is that?
I think it's just a giant distraction. I use the maps, but I don't really like talking on the phone anyways. I'd rather text, so I don't need all the bells and whistles.
See, that's a great,
oh, interesting.
That's a great point.
What about the Facebook, the Twitter? I mean, all the apps you have on it. What about all that?
I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram.
Ah.
I have a Facebook, but I don't. I hate computers. I think they're dumb. Mm. So having one in my pocket's kind of dumb to me, really.
Okay, all right.
So another person who really doesn't use it,
correct,
like a smartphone,
and you could tell because he says I have a Facebook. No, not really. But
277 KTAR. Ashley Flood is here with us, one of our great anchors, and. You're in your 20s.
Sure I am.
Okay. Would you give up your smartphone for $100,000?
For a year.
For a year.
That's a long, long time.
Yeah.
And my family says that I'm addicted to my cell phone.
Are you? Aren't we all? I mean, that's kind of... Yeah.
I'm like, I am. I work for my cell phone. I'm on my cell phone all the time. I could do it.
Could you?
I could.
Not use your husband's or anybody else's.
Can't use a smartphone.
Okay,
you can use a computer.
I would get lost without my cell phone.
I would
be driving around Phoenix and would have no idea where I'm
going.
See,
I kind of agree with you, and I'm in my
40s. Oh, come on. You know how to get around
Phoenix. I'm in my 40s, but I still have, you know this, I have the worst sense of direction. I am a disaster. I mean, I do use my GPS a lot. I do. If you give me a map, oh my goodness. I mean.
But what did you do before they had smartphones? See, older people know what it's like to be without a phone.
I would get lost. Somebody, is what I used to do. I used to get lost.
Somebody like Ashley.
Yeah.
Ashley, I think when the first smartphone came out, you were probably in middle school. So you've known life. You've known almost your entire life with a smartphone in it.
Yes. I haven't always had a smartphone, though.
Right.
But.
Could you do it or would you do it? That's two different questions.
I think I could do it if I absolutely had to. Would I do it? I don't know.
See, I would do it for $100,000. I mean,
it's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money.
But I would never have to worry about paying for a cell phone.
That is
with
right.
$100,000.
Absolutely.
Yeah, $100,000. Sure, I'd do it. And you know what?
We would know what it's like to be without a phone because we've lived life without a phone.
Yeah, and I don't really want to go back to that. But if you're, would it be easy? No. No, and I'd get lost all over the place. But the good point is Matt couldn't really call me, so that's good. I'd look forward to that.
You would still get a cell phone.
Yeah, but I would screen you out like normal.
Well, then it doesn't matter. I mean, geez.
All right.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks, Ashley. So, you know, we talked to 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I got to tell you, I think if you are someone who is on your smartphone a lot, there's no way you could do this. But if you're like Steven, who called, he's in his 30s. He thinks it's kind of dumb to have a phone.
He doesn't like computers.
Yeah, so he could totally do it.
But I think
the majority,
should go live with the Amish, quite frankly.
I think the majority of us probably wouldn't do it.
I could do it. You could do it.
I would gladly try and do it.
Yeah.
I would gladly
I think
try and
I
do
could
it.
Do it. My wife, no way. There's no way she could do it. She's like Ashley. She's always on her phone.
Okay. Bye, Ashley. Ashley. Ashley.
Ashley.
Ashley.
Ashley, where?
Ashley.
Oh, I guess
she's gone. Tell her to get off her phone? Is she texting?
Yes.
Is she Facebooking?
I'm on the phone right now. I'm on the air right now.
She's Snapchatting us right now.
She's telling her husband she's on the air.
All right. Ashley? 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 Ashley?
Let's just go to break.
Okay. Coming up next.
Not worth it.
An HOA vigilante is on the loose in the Valley. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
We'll talk about it next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
We got a big problem in a valley neighborhood. I don't know who is doing this. I'd punch him right in the nose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you say punch him in the nose. If this guy's doing it at night and somebody mm-hmm. thinks they're breaking into the car, he could be severely injured or even killed.
Homeowners in a Phoenix neighborhood are pretty upset, and with good reason. Someone is going around and spray painting cars, and it looks like they're doing it because he doesn't like where they're parked.
He doesn't like where they're parked or how they're parked. Who does this guy think he is?
It's a nice, family-friendly neighborhood. But make no mistake, there's something sinister going on in Phoenix's Dynamite Mountain Ranch community.
And it's just a horrible thing that somebody would think that it's okay to come and destroy someone's personal property.
Someone is painting black stripes along the side of vehicles.
Is that unbelievable? They don't know who it is. Some people say it's an HOA vigilante.
Yeah, in other words, he's taking the HOA bylaws mm-hmm. by the letter of the law, and anybody who doesn't, I guess, park the correct way, there you go, you're marked.
Wow. So a lot of HOAs don't allow you to park in the street.
On the street or on the side of the house.
Which, by the way, I don't get it. Because, you know, when our kids come home from Tucson, we got our son's working there. Daughter's going to graduate U of A next year, in 6 months, actually. When they come home, they both now have to park their cars in the garage.
Right.
Now, if my wife or I want to get out, we got to move their car. I don't know why it's such a big deal, why they couldn't park on the street. I don't get
it. It's a look. They don't want it. They don't want to look like a bunch of people live there.
Okay.
It's a clean look on the street, I guess.
Neighbor.
But they're okay with it in your driveway. See, all right.
Because that's your driveway.
Neighbors tell us it's been going on for months, but today is the first day we're getting a look at the possible culprit. A home security system just took this video of a man vandalizing an SUV.
Yeah, this guy is going to be on, like, you know, the Valley's Most Wanted.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you could see him walk up the sidewalk, spray the car, then put the can of paint in his pocket and keep going. At least six vehicles were hit overnight near 24th Avenue and Norterra Parkway.
That's amazing.
And this guy doesn't just stop once. If you do it again, he'll be out there with his can of spray paint and he'll get you again.
Don't the cops have to be out in this specific neighborhood?
No, it's got an HOA. No, it's got an HOA. It's fine.
All right, I know you don't like HOAs. I'm fine with it. I don't like everything that they do. But, you know, in terms of technology, you know, there are a lot of people that have cameras up at the house or the doorbell camera.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. I'll tell you what I would do. I wouldn't personally do it because I'd be a wuss about it. I'd want someone else to do it. I'd set this guy up.
With a bait car?
Yeah.
Put a car on the street.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then do what?
Get near
the bushes or something?
Absolutely. And when he's there, I tase him. And then I kick him while he's down.
You're right. You wouldn't do this.
And then I drop the elbow on him. Yeah, and then you know what? Yeah. I'd slap him in the figure four leg lock.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I would do until he tapped out like a wuss.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't do
Gatos,
that.
Gatos, let me go. I give.
Hey, you listen to the show? Great.
Say
hey,
uncle.
Let me let you up.
Say uncle. Uncle!
Yeah. The Big Four at Four is coming up next.
I'd give him a noogie, too. I would noogie him.
Four big blockbuster stories. We're going to noogie you with four big blockbuster stories coming up next.
It's Gatos. Everybody asks me, what do you want?